Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, it's with joy we anticipate looking into the word that the prophet left us, that you gave him by vindication. Yet there's a certain amount of trepidation, knowing that we fear, Lord, lest we say that which is wrong. And then, Lord, on the other hand, we also know that there is the truth that the elect cannot be deceived, that there will not be errors committed concerning the doctrine, concerning truth. So, all in all, our hope is in you, Lord, for when we see storms arising, we know that you ride upon the storm and control it. And when we see death, Lord, we know there's life in the midst of death. We see signs in every hand of the end. We know it's just the beginning of a new era. So we are glad to commend ourselves into your hands this morning in the study of the Word, just believing you're going to help us and give us truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're into the message here, End Time Seed Sign, and you'll notice Brother Branham starts out by calling it End Time Sign Seed, which is all right, because you can take either way he said it and come up with a great deal of light. Now, starting on page 8, where I want to start, Brother Branham gives as his text from the Scripture Amos 3 and 7, "Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." Now, of course, you already know that by we having looked at this different times in Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So it tells you right here that there are certain things about God and his word that remain secret. You simply do not have to worry about them. You do not have to delve into it, or in plain English, poke your nose into it, as we might say, or take it upon ourselves to attempt to find out anything. But that which is revealed unto us belongs unto us. In other words, what God wishes to withhold belongs unto him. That's his. Leave it alone. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do the word, the words of the law. So you will notice in here that even though the word has been given on the printed page and is very clear cut, it takes a revelation. And we could say, well, the whole Bible is a revelation. Well, I don't say that it isn't. But when you talk about that, you are simply talking about the word in its word form has been revealed as to what lies within the content. But to understand is a thing entirely different. And therein, Brother Branham is talking, and he said, "Surely the Lord will do nothing." In other words, even as far as God fulfilling this word of his, and Brother Branham explained that there's great junctures where God must raise up men who are leaders to lead the people into the truth. "He will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." So we go back there and we say, well, in the beginning, everything was secret with God. Well, how in the world then do you get everything, a part of that everything, which can be revealed unto you so that it is yours and your children's? Well, you only get it on the grounds that a prophet tells you. So, all right, the prophet then, as Brother Branham said, that he is the one who to whom God reveals the word in order to bring it to us in its origin. But also, he is the one to whom God reveals what already is in there that needs a revelation. Even the Apostle Paul did not tell us, listen, I'm the one who God gave the original revelation concerning predestination, and the Gentiles were to come in. Now, we know that that is not true, because you go back to the Old Testament. You can find that in many places. But what he said was, it's known today as it was not known back there. So, therefore, you have to have those ones that God raises up, particularly a prophet, to bring forth the true mysteries and secrets of Almighty God, even though they haven't laid out before us, as far as just word is concerned. Now, Brother Branham has taken this particular verse 7 and not out of its context, but from the context of where it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So we're looking at the scripture here that we must take into to our understanding that when Brother Branham is using this particular text, shall surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So this message will not be the old line fundamental dissertation about how we got the Bible or simply tell about the prophetic office. It will be about himself and his ministry. That's his word ministry. And what is transpiring as of now in the judgments of God according to prophecy. That is exactly what you are looking at. Things are going on. We need to know the hour in which we live and the word for that particular hour. So this is what we are looking at as we go into this message this morning, beginning it. Now, the topic that I would like to use is this, the end time sign seed. Well, you can use sign seed on the grounds that the very word that is given in this hour through vindication is a sign that we are at some juncture. What juncture is it entirely? Well, Brother Branham has explained that. We are at the very end time, Revelation 10:1-7, 1 Thessalians 4:16, and Ephesians 1:17, so on and so on. Now, if you say then end time seed sign, end time seed absolutely means there's a harvest. So, all right, what is there? Then Brother Branham must explain the hour and the conditions which you are and bring it right up to where we're at. So it really doesn't matter how you put this. I really believe he desired to have the actual meaning that we are going to be using throughout the message as end time seed sign. But as I say, no matter how you take it, you don't need to worry about it. All right, now, the topic that I would like to use is this, the end time sign seed. And as I've just told you yesterday, preaching so much on the seed because it's the word. All things begin in Genesis because Genesis means beginning or the seed sowing chapter of the Bible. You notice I'm putting a couple words in there, but it's not changing one thing whatever because we've gone through two complete sermons. We know exactly where he's at, what he's saying, and why he's saying it. And this is what he called, what you would call breaking it down and feeding it to the people. Taking nothing from it, adding nothing to it, merely amplifying what he's already said by saying the same thing in many different ways, which is something like John Wesley's mother used to do. She had, what is it, 19 children or something, and she would tell each one 20 times in a row what she wanted done. And they said, well, Mrs. Wesley, why would you do that? She said, because one time might make the 19 insufficient. And she, very, very astute woman. You can tell why John was such a disciplined person and the family. But so that's what we're doing here. We're looking at this in the light of the two previous message sermons, of which we preached roughly 50 sermons, which would be roughly 70. 50 would be another half hour. Yeah. If you take 50 hours, you've got 75 hours, divide that half. All right. So we're looking at this. He said, I've been preaching much on the seed because it is the word. And that's the beginning word that came forth from God, at least to the extent of our relationship to him and the placing of sacred history and man within that sacred history. Now, because it's the word, all things begin in Genesis because Genesis means beginning or seed planting chapter of the Bible. Everything we have on earth today has its origin in Genesis. So we're looking at the word beginning. And since Brother Branham is using the word seed, you understand the seed is only good if it's planted. And then it must be properly germatized. In other words, there must be life in there. There must be the germ there. Then it must be planted in a soil which is satisfactory. And from that time on, the sun and the rain takes care of it. You see, bypassing or barring the calamity of Lake Frost, you're going to have a harvest. Now, so therefore, Genesis is the planting book. And remember, when you plant seed, the seed is a precursor. That is, it runs ahead. But it doesn't just run ahead. It actually contains what you want to come forth. And so seed is the carrier, the vessel of life, as we know it, by its own particular form and attributes or manifestation. Like Brother Branham said, and I've said many times, you can take a little seed, and unless you're tremendously practiced and really know one seed from another, you could look and say, well, I don't know what seed it is. Well, the thing is planted. And when you plant it, it comes up, and the life is manifested. So, all right, then the book of Genesis is the garden planting of every manifestation that God wants at the end. And anything that was not there, and Brother Branham will talk about that. There's a planting that wasn't there. God is going to burn it up. Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted is going to be uprooted and destroyed. Okay, so it's a planting book chapter. It's the beginning, see, of the whole thing there. Now, let's just read the next two paragraphs. I'm not very smart, but I've got to be honest with you. The person, and I'm guilty and so are you, the person or persons who paragraphed Brother Branham's sermons really doesn't know the first thing about actual construction. Because every paragraph should contain its own thought and end with that thought, and the first sentence should be the opening thought of the new paragraph, either in contingent to, then going down following. But you will notice, we all have that horrible habit of ending a paragraph, which should be the beginning of the new paragraph. I just want you to notice that. I think Francis notices it, and anybody here, but Dave would have to notice it with your back education. You've got 2 degrees, and I'm not very smart, but I do understand a little bit about English. This is very poorly done, and I'm guilty because I would do things like this myself. But anyway, I'm going to this. What I'm saying is here, he's got this marked paragraph 27, and he's got 2 paragraphs there, and it just ain't so. But all right. So when you read yourself, you've got to watch everything because sometimes their punctuation is for the birds. And that's all right. That's all right. We won't fuss at it. It's all written down here word by word. Now, Brother Branham says, now we have things today that did not begin in Genesis because they've been hybridized, and I put from the original, anything hybrid is a phony. It's no good. It cannot reproduce itself. Anything that's hybrid is man-made and cannot bring itself back again. As I've said many times, we take the breeding of stock like you take the donkey and the mare, and they bring forth a mule, but the mule cannot breed himself back or itself back. It's an it. He doesn't know what his father or mother, he doesn't know what they are, see? He's mixed up. Well, you see, he's mixed up because he's a mixture. Now, let's look at these words here today. Now we have things today. Now, just a minute, things today. You mean like a piano and an accordion? No, he's not talking about that. If he is talking about seeds that bring forth plants, which bring forth a harvest, which are planted there by God so that can God get what he wants, then it means there's been a seed of some description planted that God did not plant. Follow me? So when you say things, let's find out what things are. So, we have manifestation of seeds today that were not planted in the beginning in Genesis. Because we can see they're hybrids. So there's been some hybridizing done. Now, anything that's a hybrid is a phony. Let's go further. The word phony means that it is not true, that it's a facsimile, that it purports it's a hypocrite, and isn't for real. It doesn't belong. It's shady. It's corrupt. Hey, that sounds just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah.
Oh, hey, man, ain't it working? Hey, man, doesn't this look good?
It's a phony. See? It's not in the original. God didn't plant it. But you can know right here, since God created everything and there's nothing made that He didn't make, somebody's been tampering. You follow me?
So, all right, God lays this all out there and He said, now everything is good, is perfect.
And remember, the devil is in the Garden of Eden. And he is there acting as a prophet, a revealer of the word, and a leader in worship, which he got kicked out of heaven for because he was a phony. He was a hypocrite. He didn't do right. So, all right, he's down there. And so there's going to be some planting that is not of God. And Brother Branham is going to be doing some illustrating from nature. So, he said, now we've got some manifestation, some life, some harvesting of seeds that were not there in the beginning. And absolutely, if they weren't put there by God for this particular purpose, so that somebody's messing with the things that God had put there. And he said, anything that's a hybrid can look awful good, but it's a phony. Don't trust it. And notice, it cannot reproduce itself. Anything that's a hybrid is man-made. It's got something to do with man, some type of intelligence, like the old serpent, you know, and cannot bring itself back. As I've said many times, we take the breeding of stock, like when you take a donkey and a mare, and they bring forth a mule, but the mule cannot breed itself back. In fact, he doesn't even know his genealogy. He just knows he's alive and he's fritting around, you know. Now, I want you, that's the truth. I want you to recognize why I'm saying these things. He doesn't have his genealogy, but you know he can work like a horse and better than a horse. And he can make all the noises. He can eat. And he can be out there doing a lot of things. In fact, it's the truth that the noble mule will put a horse under when it comes to pulling, grunting, and groaning and working. But he's got a nature that if he lives long enough, he will kick you. And he will, if you build a fire under him, move the cart just so the cart burns down with the fire while he flicks his tail and goes, yaw, yaw, laughing at you. Yeah, it's true. He doesn't know his ancestry, let me tell you one thing. He sure follows the guy that messed with him and got him here. Oh, he even may be affectionate. Rub his nose and, yeah, he nuzzle the back of your head. Oh, he may even be affectionate. Boy, can he jump a fence when he wants to, too. I didn't hear sheep jumping fences. Heard of goats jumping fences. Sheep go through gates. These little things I'm just throwing here to make you realize what we're talking about, because we've already been through this. He's a mixture. Now, Brother Branham said he can't breed himself back for the simple reason there's no way he can do it, because he does not have an original life in him. The true original life. Now, As you look at this, please understand, when we talk of plant and life, we cannot do so under any consideration whatsoever without a manifested form. You are just guessing. Now, there can be a form there. And it got there through the processes of life, but it doesn't mean there's any life in it. Huh? Come on. That's the horse and mule. That's your hybrid Christian. Right? Okay. No continuing lifeline, for it has none of its own. Why, it's a horse dog. It's a horse donkey. Only from two flesh sources, and those two sources cannot mingle to reproduce a new line of life, for only one of the species has the life. And that is, would be the male. No matter how you look at it, there has to be a male. Okay, let's go to Genesis 1, 24 and 25. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, horses and donkeys and mules, the jackass and so on, the beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said, saw that it was good. Now you notice in here, there is a lineage. These originals are bringing forth after their kind. And notice specifically, and he couldn't say, this butterfly after this butterfly and this after this. He just categorizes it across the board. Each life species has been dedicated by God to be perennial, to be literally eternal, I should say everlasting, because God could wipe it out just with the breath of his mouth by one word. But we're looking at this thing to make our picture. Now let's go to the 28th verse. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Now, that's what they are to do. So, but let's go to Genesis 2, 18 to 20. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Now the word absolutely alone has many facets to it, which we looked into. But I will make him an helpmeet for him. I will make one of his species. Now, Brother Branham explains this, that this was a step down. Not in the original creation. He even used the word hybrid, which we went into. Because Adam was not an angel, and he was not an animal. He stood all alone by himself, and he could not even reproduce himself. Now, remember, this woman was given to reproduce himself. Now, let's get this flat. If I were to take a jackass and I get a mare, a horse, mare, that particular life that's there was made for reproduction. And this is why you can have this picture in here, because she was given to him in order to reproduce him and bring many sons and daughters. And she didn't do it, because there was an affinity over here. But let's watch the picture now. Though she could positively, and did, because that closeness was so absolutely perfect, from Adam to her to the beast, there was no trouble at all that she could bring forth a beast creature, a serpent seed, who was able to continue to bring himself forth, because all he needed was that body, the same as all Adam needed was that body, and she was the mother of all living. All right? Eve was given to Adam to reproduce himself and bring many sons of God into the earth. Now, how then to account for Cain and his offspring? We're talking about it. Matthew 13, two sowers and two seeds. two sowers and two seeds. Now let's look a little bit into this business of seed and body, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. Brother Branham would have to be here to correct me, and he would. But we're looking at it. All right. They're talking about the resurrection of the dead in verse 35. As some man will say, or somebody will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? In other words, there's a life there. Now it's got to have a body. Thou fool, that what thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That's true. You take a seed, the covering dies, all the little inside, the pulp and all that is meant there to bring forth that life, to nurture it, that dies. It's gone. But then and now it has a life of its own. But that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now notice, every seed requires its own body. All right. Now remember, I just mentioned Matthew 13. There are two distinct plantings. And with those two distinct plantings, one by God and one by the devil, they have their own particular body according to the seed. Now the serpent should have procreated and gone down the line as that beast that he was, great big gigantic fella. No doubt tremendously handsome, tremendously intelligent, very subtle, wicked. Just like the devil, by reason of his brightness. He fell. So, all right. Now, he had a certain body. But now, look. The crossbreeding at this particular time to bring forth this person within the earth which was of Satan. Now, watch this carefully. If God has children through human production, you follow me? Then Satan must also have children through human production. And the human production was allowed because it was so very close that Cain was able to procreate the same as the serpent did through Eve. And he was able to do that now through the daughters of Adam and Eve because the life was in that particular person. Now, you got this, that you're, this is different from the mare and the donkey. What you have here is that they cannot possibly, they are not so close that the seed of the donkey could take on a body which in turn the two bodies combined, the male and the female, could propagate that life, because that's not in the Word. But Matthew 13 is in the Word. Now, right away, someone's going to say, just a minute. If you can't follow that all the way through by nature, don't you tell me about serpent seed and Adam. I got news for you. It's vindicated. And this is where the human mind will, by faith, go to the Word of God, wherein, if you study evolution, or you study anything pertaining to science, and they go back to origins, you will suddenly find that evolution does not have one fact to stand upon. It hypothesizes. There is fact. Now, you can do what you want about it, because there comes a time when it comes to God, you leave all reasoning to one side, as hard as you may try, as far as you may go. You cannot believe in God with your reasoning powers as though you can produce a perfect understanding and revelation, or there wouldn't be any faith involved at all. That's why I said, when you get into Brother Branham's message, and you hear teaching all the time, and let's get this from Mr. Barattas and the guys that want to misquote me all the time. I said you can die Because that's exactly what you can do. You can get to the place where you think you know everything. You've broken it all down. And you say, there it is. What's there to it? And you walk off because there's nothing to it to you. Never has been and never will. This does not destroy your faith. This gets you to understand perfect seed. That's why there's predestination. That's why there's election. That's why there's foreknowledge. Certainly. Let me tell you something, this brother, sister, let's get this flat. The last message Moses preached killed all the firstborn of Satan's gang. I'm not calling them Satan's gang. I'm just telling you, I know what they're saying. That's up to them to smarten up and repent and get things right or not. This message is the only message has life, but let's get it flat. It can be death to you. It was to 23,000 in one day that fell into adultery. So, all right. Matthew 13, there are two seeds and two sowers. Exactly. And it tells you here that God gives a body to every single seed as it has pleased him. Let me tell you flat. The seed of the serpent within the serpent was pleasing to God. But the minute he went out of line and Eve went out of line, what came forth was not pleasing to God. God did not give it its body. That's why I get a little frightened right now what the scientists are doing, splicing genes and everything else. That's not what God gave it. As much as I have respect for Dr. Merkel, I have no doubt in my mind, since he's already taken the chondriana, and with the proper soup, he said, they're giants. And he said, therefore, we must have devolved or come down from a giant race. He doesn't understand spiritual things. Now, let's say that they get in people's bloodstreams. And I don't mind it right now for me because and for you. Because, hey, we're born again. We're fine. But what if it comes to the hour, which I believe it will very shortly? This will proliferate. What then if, and they've admitted, that the AIDS virus is doing pretty well the same thing that the chondriana does? What now if that AIDS virus can now pull a stunt just the same as the serpent did, which no doubt it will? See? All right. It now throws out a smoke screen. From that time on, the chondrion is licked. It's just what you got in the earth. It's a little lady scientist found in the earth out there in Colorado. I forget her name and forget what it was. But she found an antibiotic. Now, here's what you get. When you take it out of the ground, those antibiotics are there to keep the ground clean. Now, if you take it out and you cause nature now in order to survive, and it will survive, you're not going to stop it surviving until God wants to cut the whole thing off. That bacteria now that's the enemy of that good antiviral product or antibacterial will come to the place where the earth cannot possibly cleanse itself, and that's where the bodies are today. Merkel and everybody admits flat. There's no such thing as a pure bloodstream in anybody walking the street anymore. Not one. And the people that come the closest are vegetarians, and you can have them because the Bible is not vegetarian. See, let me tell you, science and people twist everything in the Word of God. Sit down, bless God, and eat a good steak. Don't smoke a cigar for the glory of God, but sit down and eat a good steak. Eat a nice fresh fish. Have a good salad. And don't think vegetarian. Think palate. Think good taste. And if you can afford good lamb chops, which I wish I could. I can't even find them if I could afford them. Have beautiful broiled lamb chops. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Actually, it's too good for me. But you see, they can run with the things they know not of. Now, I'm not trying to place everything. But I want to even go so far as to tell you what I told you about, where syphilis comes from, after having read Dr. Merkel. I'm 100% convinced I'm right. And AIDS is worse because it's man with man. Oh, God, I can't say God have pity on this world. Why should I say it? We're Americans. If we don't even pray for America, forget about Europe. The light came to the West. Now, two seeds. God ran his seed, or generations, through Adam via Eve, and Satan through the serpent via Eve, the mother of all living. They know that to be a fact. Oh, they say, well, there were several Eves, but of course, what it is, this one Eve was ours. Merciful God, when they find one fact, these evolutionist idiots could really use to help them, they throw it in the garbage tin by adding to the Word of God. They don't have a leg to stand on. They don't even have legs up to their belly button. They're dead and don't even know it. They're like these church people here. Every child of Adam must therefore have God's seed, and every child of Satan have serpent seed. Eve gave both Cain and Abel and Seth only the physical as life was from the male. The beast and Adam were so closely related that their seed could reproduce through this woman and eventually all become one lump in the flesh. Both the children of God and of Satan are here in a common flesh. Maybe that's why he saw the big Condriana when he went back. The two lives do not mingle and become a single life. Sheep cannot become sheep goats. Goats cannot become goat sheep. See? Now notice, there is a sterility. Never produced life at all. I think that looking at this, the poor mule won't even come up in the resurrection. Now we're talking now in type. Example, serpent against Adam. Now, that won't come up in the resurrection. But I'll tell you one thing. All other plants will come up. You know why? Because the beast was in the original. He was right there to get in that garden. A serpent. Eve was there. And she became that mother. Now watch. The seed went into her womb. And it was her flesh and his flesh combined that brought forth that one. And that one, being a male, which it naturally had to be. See? Adam was the same. He brought forth Abel, male. Could have been women between, girls in between then Seth. Brought forth that one, which then became the disseminator of that particular life. Now that's what you are looking at. And if you don't believe it, that's fine by me. I believe it. I've got an inquiring mind, an analytical mind, so I keep looking and looking, and I'm reading, and God just lets me read the right things as far as I'm concerned, and I can begin to see everything in this Bible, as Brother Branham taught, it just come up perfect. See? And remember, as the perfection is manifested, science goes back to the test tube. It doesn't care two bits for vindication. And all the time, they're saying, science is something we know. Prove it. It's in the test tube. One and one make two. All right. Thus saith the Lord. Vindicated means there's somebody back there talking to that man. Oh, well, we don't go for that. Well, go to hell as far as I'm concerned. And if I'm there, pardon my horrible expression, because Lee Vale is a rat, I will step on their heads. Because of the damage they've been doing. Now, God might not let me. He'll do a better job than me. But I just want you to know how I feel about it. Now, Paul was nice. He said, let him that is ignorant be ignorant still. I'm not Paul. I'm not John the Beloved. I'm Lee Vale the Nasty. And I'm sorry about that. Because they rile me. They think I don't have a right to be analytical. Their analysis by pure science does not give them the right to speculate. Because when they speculate, one and one no longer make two. Now, Merkel is proving right now and has proven that the light, which he believes comes from the sun, and I'm not going to argue what he thinks he sees or does see, but he said they are the ones that produce the protein. And these guys up there looking for protein, and they say if we find protein, there's got to be light. Evidently, they have their heads screwed on backwards. I don't think I read him wrong. So Walker's vision is coming to pass. Science doesn't give a care for Elijah. It doesn't fit in with their government any more than divine healing fits in with the FDA. Or anything decent fits in with allopathy in the drug industry. Brother Branham said he was illustrating, we take corn today, it's hybrid. They say it's more beautiful than a bigger ear, but it's no good. You see what Reader's Digest just wrote of it? I can't remember what it was. If women continue to eat chicken and beef and stuff that's hybridized, in 20 years from now, oh boy, Reader's Digest sure missed that one, didn't they? In 20 years from now, the human race will cease to exist. Women can no more have babies. That's right. Hybridizing is no good. But look it. Could it be that hybridizing is one of the major problems today, why the immune system has gone into backfire and AIDS is prevalent? Think it over. Think it over. You can't tamper with God's ways and get anywhere. Take corn, hybridizing it, and it makes a great ear, big ear. But what does it do? Now, what's it to it? It's all right if you want to eat it on the big ear, because that's what you want, a big ear to eat. But what happens to it? Plant it back. It can't reproduce itself again. It's no good. It's dead. Therefore, anything that wasn't spoken by God in the beginning is a hybrid. In other words, it will never come up in the resurrection and live. Now, in the resurrection, the second resurrection, my brother, sister, the food is virgin come up. They're plantings of God. They're that big bolt of cloth here, and God puts a pattern on it, and he said, this is wise virgin, the bride, and this is foolish virgin, and I have to leave her. She got, the church got purged. That's the foolish virgin, gets counted with the just and with the unjust and the unholy, and she is hunted down, and they're all killed, because you see, they come out to meet him, but they miss him. And then when the Antichrist says, you come on, you worship me, they said, just a minute, we came out. We can't go back in. My God, something's happened. Oh, I see. The bride goes through the great tribulation. No, she's done gone. See, the false doctrine comes in then. And that's their false hope. And they're very happy, no doubt, to die. Why? Because you come full circle, and in the first stage, they were happy to die. Right. So, all right. Let us be glad and rejoice. Now, that's the way that people get away from the Word of God. It becomes a hybrid affair. What becomes a hybrid affair? The Word. Then it must die. Yeah. You've made void my commandments, my promises, my blessings, everything I said by your tradition. You spoiled everything that I said by adding to it or taking from it. Just like Eve did, one word. Now remember, it's not the adding of the one word. It's the fact that by adding one word, you can change the whole thing. Like I can put a double negative in there. It doesn't change anything. No, it doesn't. And Brother Branham said it's the changing. And remember, those that believe on the Lord are supposed to know the doctrine. They're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. It isn't that the word is no longer true. It's 100% true, vindicated, scientifically proven, because the camera doesn't lie. The light struck the lens. Highest authority said so. Well, he wasn't so smart. Of course, now you're the smart one. Oh, I just love that. I could never stand tripe because it's something about the cow's guts they put in soup. Oh,
want my soup made out of cow gut. Or anything else. All right, if the word becomes a hybrid, it's a hybrid affair. Now, what's an affair? Usually an affair is two people getting together which shouldn't be together. What do they bring forth? Bastards. Huh? Well, here's the word of God merging with this word here, supposedly. Now, can you believe God, the great groom, standing there? Let's just resolve it to the person of Jesus himself in human flesh. He's standing before the Father. And knowing there is a God in heaven, and that Jesus Christ in flesh, the fulfillment, that the word in manifestation. And he says to this hybrid one, I take thee as my wife. Huh. She says, I take thee as my husband. And he said, hold it. No dice. You're divorced. She is not going to use her word in a marriage vow. No, wait. It's his. I'm just illustrating what Brother Branham is saying here. It becomes a hybrid affair. We've got a lot of that today where you see that men and women are cohabiting without marriage. Now, here's what they found out. If they do marry, large numbers divorce. And if they do live together, when it comes time to be compatible, there's no compatibility. And they simply bust up. And that's a good picture right now of a woman that doesn't take a vow with the man she lives with. Because she wants her little say, and he wants his little say. And if she owns the apartment, don't think for one minute the butcher boy, when he comes home, will want to do the dishes and scrub the floors and help her. No, he'll get in bed with her. But he won't do the work and pay the bills. That's what you got today in the church. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Neither will Jesus Christ have anything to do with a woman that does not take her vows and comes up with the word of Almighty God. I'm just saying these things because, listen, you can read the papers, you can turn the radio on, which I do the odd time, and pick up every single thing in the world that's going on, and you can see that this word is 100% true. And the only hope that anybody has is merciful God. Get us back to your word. What does it mean? Where do we come from? Where are we going? What's going on now? All right, it becomes a hybrid affair. It must die. It cannot bring forth of its kind to life again. The church that will refuse to believe the word of God is a hybrid church with dogmas and creeds and doctrines that are not scriptural. See? It is no longer word and word only. Because only the word has life that comes from God revealed. And it's not the word of God longer, so there's no life in it. That church cannot bring forth a spirit-filled child because it's hybrid. Now, you think for one minute they're going to believe what we're saying in the light of what they believe about 1 Peter 1. In 22, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not a corruptible spora, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all it says here that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass, but the point is this, do you have that word in you? So your glory goes on. That you're planted of God. That you're a true seed of God. See, the church hasn't got it. It's the same thing as over there, you must be born again. Then it tells you how you get that way. Jesus Christ has to die upon the cross, and you have to believe everything that is concerning him, as the scripture said, before the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, The church cannot bring forth a spirit-filled child because it's hybrid. That means that every single Pentecostal that speaks in tongues, every Roman Catholic, every Lutheran, every Anglican, every single person that has a manifestation of the Holy Ghost and claims he's baptized with the Holy Ghost, being off that revealed word, is not full of the Holy Ghost, but is dead. Is merely anointed. You know what? It's just what Brother Branham said about the the horse and the donkey. Poor old mule. He can't bring himself back. He's gone right now. His life is over. He's lived it. That's all there is to it. What's he doing out there working the field? He's a toy of nature. He's a hybrid. He's a discard. He's a reject. Doesn't know his pappy and mammy. Has no offspring. No continuity. You mean to tell me that's the way a child of God is? He doesn't know where he comes from, where he's going. He suddenly appears like a fruit fly. Oh, you can be in a house sitting there, no fruit fly for months, and you pick up a grapefruit, there'll be a fruit fly. Is that how we come? Don't be ridiculous. If you didn't have the origin back there in God, you ain't got it. Now remember, let's get this flat. You would still have to have the kind of flesh that God wanted you to have. Now remember, he allowed you and me in a body that could sin, could be tempted, knowing he changed it to that which is entirely glorious, like unto the own glorious body that Jesus Christ himself, the great Son of God, picked up in the resurrection. All right, he spit spiritually dead. He said that church cannot bring forth a spirit-filled child because it's a hybrid. It's no good. It might be bigger, great big walls, fine pews, big bells, and plush seats. That doesn't mean one thing. It's spiritually dead. Right. It cannot bring forth spirit-filled children because it's dead itself. There's no life in their word. Well, what about their prayers being answered? What about raising the dead? What about healing the sick? He'll simply say, I never knew you. I took care of that. See, my goodness me. Well, I'm sorry. You see, there's where you must have your faith in God, because this goes past our reasonings. It goes right past our reasoning. They say, just a minute, it's in the Word, and I'm fulfilling the Word, and that's what it's all about. Hey, just a minute, did you understand before this Word was written, and this Word can be revealed in the end hour, it takes a prophet vindicated? It's the same, just a minute. Did you have a person with discerning of spirits, proven to discern spirits, absolutely can discern spirits, before you started your gifts in your church? Where do you stand? You say, I want to see that in the Bible. That's the Bible to me, vindication. Why do you think the discerning of spirits in the Bible is a gift? You go to Pentecost, it's all tongues interpretation. That's usually a phony. So-called prophecy, that's usually a phony. It's just anointed utterance of some kind. You get a few healings, but where are they? No way. Now, speaking 6 hours on that subject, that's the spoken word's original seed. And tonight, going back again on this same end time seed sign. Now, use a seed sign. Now, a wise person, if he's all right in his head, he's always trying to find out what's ahead of him. All of us want to know that. What's the next move that I should make? Where do I go from here? It's like a man crossing a stream. He steps on one rock, then he looks around to see where his next step shall be. He just can't jump anywhere. If he does, he'll drown himself. He must watch where he's going. After I cross this, he says, then where? All of us are that way. That's been the cry of the human race down through the ages. Where from here? Where do we go from here? That's what they always say. Now, here's an illustration. Take the King of England. One night, when a saint had baptized him, the morning after, they were sitting by this big fire that night in a place like a piazza, and there was a big furnace of fire, or grate as we'd call it, only a very large mammoth thing that took big logs lying there. The saint was trying to tell the king about God, and a little sparrow finished his sermon for him. The little sparrow in the nighttime flew from the dark into the light, went back out of the light and into the dark again. And the saint raised up and said to the king, where did he come from and where did he go? That's what we want to know. Where did we come from and where are we and what are we doing here and where do we go from here? Now all the signs that we got, as many bones as we've dug up, as many books as we've written, there's not one book that can tell you where you come from, what you are, and where you're going. Only one book can, and that's the Bible. In other words, Brother Branham takes the Word of God as 100% authoritative. Now, these scientists cannot be authoritative when it comes to the origins of life of the individual and begin to nail it down and say, this is it. We have it from the test tube, and we are proving it right now. Unless they can prove it right now and produce what they are talking about. In my books, they are liars, because science says one and one make two, and it's always one and one make two. H2O is always H2O. H2O2 is always H2O2. HCl is always HCl. Now you can put some of those things apart, they're deadly poison. Put them together, like I think you take, what is it, Peter, you know, it's a sulfuric acid they use with corn to make corn syrup. There's one of them, there's an acid they use. And so it's they do acids with many things, but it becomes neutralized the minute something else goes with it. You make corn syrup. They may have a new method by making it up, but I remember years ago we studied. You could actually prove it. You can prove that H2O is water. You can take oxygen. You can take hydrogen. Put them into two tubes with electrolytically. You can see the water form. They know what thunder and lightning does. What lightning does out here? Releases the nitrogen. There's a lot of things. But you see, when it comes now, you can't find this in the test tube. Here is where you are, a child of faith, which is a child of God. Or you blow it, because there's your vindication. Here's the authority right here. Science says we are authoritative. Oh, wash, authoritative, my foot. I've told you many times, I've got no more faith in science than nothing. Years ago, the dipping needle said, they said, oh, the current goes this way, because the needle dips that way. If I find out the current went the other way. I'm not smart, but neither am I completely stupid. Well, almost, but not completely. The only part I got in me is that little seed from God that I believe is there and keeps me from simply ignoring all this tripe. Because once they feel they've established evolution, then they go from there and attempt to prove things which are 100% untenable, and they will end up insane. They're already nuts and don't know it. The only sane people today are us with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that. Now, there's only one book that's authoritative. That's the Bible. It can tell you. It tells you where you came from, what you are here. That is what you are, and a person. It tells you why you are here and where you're going. So therefore, if we want to know where from here, and this is the end time now, and God is revealing His secrets of where from here, in this hour, at this time, in this place, under these conditions. What's going on? Where does the finger point? Where are we going from here? Now, we've got pictures of the second death in Eve. Nobody kidding me, please. Now, I say, Brother Bailey, you're trying to be authoritative. Well, God, forgive me. Lord, let me be authoritative. If this is not the second death we're looking at. See, because everything's got to type out and come right to the flesh. I don't know what I'm looking at. Because you've got to have every single thing at this time that leads up to the complete consummation. We have got to get glorified bodies. And the world has to have their flesh rotting on their bones. And the fire will come to destroy every germ and every corrupt, rotten thing upon the face of the earth, every plant the Heavenly Father hath not planted. And Brother Branham said, right under his ministry, according to Malachi 4, we are before the white throne. Just as it says in Daniel, the thrones are already set up. Well, I can't believe that. Well, hallelujah, I do. Well, Brother Bill makes you a nut. Well, bless God, God's got use for nuts. As Brother Branham said, all the bolts would fall apart without the nuts. So I agree. He says it's got the answer to everything we ask. It's in God's book. Man has often wondered, We go down sometimes and read the Scripture and wonder and ponder over them. But we're not supposed to wonder. You can't explain them. You've got to believe them. No man can scientifically prove God. Now, that's true. As a statement that you could make to the world. But Brother Branham made another statement. He said it's scientifically proven. What was scientifically proven? He said when God went down to Egypt with Moses, he not only appeared in signs and wonders, but he himself also appeared in the pillar upon fire upon Mount Zion. So today, and we have his picture, scientific.
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't go for that science. Well, praise God, you're one and one don't make two and never will be. You'll find out. No man can scientifically, that's by a test to prove God. If you could prove scientifically God, then there's no more faith. We're supposed to believe God, and faith is not scientific. Now, faith is not scientific in the sense it goes to the test tube. Faith is scientific on the grounds where evolution fails you. They bypass God and says there's a creation. Faith is a million times more scientific. He said there has to be a superintelligence somewhere. Where the sun and the moon and all these things are over by millions of years, they don't miss anything by a thousandth part of a second. And that just happened? Merciful God, why don't we have a beautiful car just happen? Surely there's little gnomes. They call them genomes. That's a pun. Out there working somewhere to produce a better thing than a Volkswagen. That's the smartest thing Hitler did. Big round of applause. And he represents a scientist. See? Butter and guns instead of truth. Death instead of life. See? They'll have their Hitlers, don't worry. They had a Stalin, they'll have others. They're going to have a Pope who's going to sum it all. Oh, yeah, I was going to go over here where we're talking about faith. It's found in Hebrews 11 chapter. And look at what it says over here. It says, now faith is a substance, the underpinning, the foundation, that which gives substance to the things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now listen, through faith we understand where it all came from. That the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's your science. There's what William Jennings Bryan stood for. When your stupid lawyers, although Bryans was a lawyer, stood for evolution, where the teachers are telling the kids, now just a minute, we can't allow Christians on the school board because, you see, they want creative, they want creation brought into it, and it's not scientific. What has science ever produced? Science is the ability to work with what is here and do your best to work with it from the principles you discover in nature. And what you don't know, shut up your big fat mouth and sit down. And don't try to pretend you can work backwards. Well, you already are backwards. Now, let me ask you a question. Where did this all come from? It came out of the church. The face of man was Luther. The brilliance of man came up in that sixth age particularly, five and six particularly, till it got back to Pentecost with the dumbbells, which thank God it got up to the dumbbells. Now I ask you, where did higher criticism come from? The same place where Luther was born. And higher criticism began to explain everything instead of apologetics, which means to take a stand for what is truth, even be dogmatic. That's apologetics. But when you get to higher criticism, it means that you have a thought coming, and it just didn't mean what it said. The book is metaphorical in its approach. And it doesn't mean what it says. And pretty soon, if it doesn't mean what it says, the man who is supposed to have written it doesn't mean what he said, and pretty soon there's not a man, there's not a God who even sent it. So higher criticism began to listen to the so-called science of Darwin. Well, Darwin came later, but it's all the same junk. Read your books, you'll find it. No man can scientifically prove God. That is to produce him, saying, now God, go ahead and do something because I'm relying on you. If you could prove God scientifically, get his measurement, everything else, it would be no more faith. We're supposed to believe God, and faith is not scientific. In other words, your faith is not based upon even the fact that you've got enough brains to know there's got to be a God out there somewhere. No. It's not based on that. It's based on this, the revelation. Yet vindication is scientific. And the fact of what follows the word makes us know God, and his word is real. The same one that spoke it all spoke some more. Even spoke squirrels into existence. That's not hard to believe if you were there with me when my microphone cord was wrapped around Brother Branham. If I can pick this up here, can you see? Wrapped just like this around that, around his neck, and his own merciful God, this is pitiful. I didn't blink my eyes. Suddenly, the cord was right by his feet. What happened? Well, hey, scientific boys, we got some smart engineers here. I'll rob a bank. I'll even kill to get the money to give you $1 million. Tell me and prove. Well, Brother Bill, I can prove right now you didn't see it. Oh, is that a fact? Is that a fact? I'll meet you before the white throne I'm talking of. Oh, yeah. You won't get away with it. You won't get away with it. So, Brother Dale, it could be that it wasn't what you thought. Well, I'm not even thinking I saw it. You may find my IQ is even higher than yours. The IQ doesn't mean a thing. You just got to be well-read and remember it. That's all. IQ is as phony as anything else is phony. You know the real IQ, honey? Right in this word is a true revelation of the living God by the living word. Believing it proper. Now you got an IQ. You know why you got an IQ? Because it's God's IQ. There's nothing better than that. What if Moses would have pulled some of the leaves off the burning tree and said, I'll just take these to the laboratory to find out what chemical is on them that it won't burn. That these leaves won't burn. See, God would have never talked to him. Now, Moses did not understand what happened. The only thing he did and could do was take off his shoes and sit down in reverence. And God talked back to him. We cannot scientifically prove these promises of God, but we look back and find out where in season every one of them happened, just as God said they would. Now, he's talking about the continuity of nature and the seed planting and what happens. And he said, that's the way the Word of God is. Everything in a season you can find in the Bible. You can prove that it happened. It's real. And then he brings it right up to date by reading men's hearts and telling those things which surely will happen, and they do. Brother, sister, they happen by the thousands. They happen hundreds of times. I was there. I know what I'm talking about. Well, Brother Bill, you misunderstood. Well, praise God, I misunderstood. That's right. According to you, I misunderstood. According to me, I understood. Let's not fight. Let's just go to the white throne. Well, I don't believe in that. Well, I do, but so. Well, let's be smart enough to know then this. The Scripture says, if a man sin against man, the judge will judge him. But if a man sin against God, who will plead for him? So this is something the courts can't even decide. Let's you and I wait and see what happens, if indeed something does happen. And I wink my eye because I know it's going to happen. Amen. I don't have any trouble. Daddy Bosworth, he told me, Time after time he stood on the platform. And he knew that every single person with a radical mastoid, that's the entire ear taken out, would hear. And he said, Brother Dale, I just couldn't wait to get going. And you could see him, oh my God, what a delicious, delightful person. I mean, you go into trauma just looking at, where did I come from? Back to the swill pit, kid. Back to the bugs. Oh, God. Fantastic. He couldn't wait for the service order. Then he said, you with radical mastoids, come forward now. Operation. Tire her out. Because he said, I was just waiting, grinning, he said, to lay hands on her because I knew what God would do. And he said, you should have seen the expression. The first man on the platform heard nothing. His ears were gone. Lay hands and pray. What happened? Brand new ear bones. I had it happen once in my ministry. The eardrum was gone. It was all gone. But I knew in my heart. I don't know how. You know, please, people, don't ask me. Don't ask me, because I don't know nothing. All I knew was he was going to hear and hear perfectly well, and he did. Yeah, here's the microphone cord wrapped around. Here's the man with new eardrum and everything else. Here's the guy, tumor on the brain, one after the other healed. The waterhead baby, normal.
Well, those are a sort of phenomena, you know, we can't explain them.
You can't! Why'd you try to explain God, big mouth, fat head? You know, that person's the seed of the devil. That person is a child of hell. That proves it. I mean, I know I'm rough. Come on. You pray for me. But don't pray too hard. Just 10% of the rough parts. That's all I need. But 10% off. Just leave the rest be the way it is. You cannot, we cannot scientifically prove these promises of God, but we look back and find out where in season every one of them happened, just as God said they would. Now he's referring to his own ministry. So in reverence and respect to his word tonight, let's just sit down for a while and look at it and see where we're going from here and what's the purpose. What are we here for? What is it all about? Here's some time ago I was out west. And I was sitting standing in a man's house and invited me out for dinner. And he said, Brother Branham, I see you admiring that sculpture or that painting. It was something carved out of wood, like a plaque over a fireplace. And I said, yes, sir, I sure am. It was an old ox cart, a covered wagon with oxen and a man in front. a little boy sitting on the seat beside it with his mother, and they were traveling. And he said, that was my father and mother, and that little boy on the seat was I myself. He said, we came here in an ox cart. But since then, we have so prospered. I want you to step out here in the yard with me. I forgot how many thousands of acres he owned there in the ranch. And he said, I bought that in my young days. And he said, then after that, the adjoining ranch to the west I own. And the adjoining ranch to the south I own. And see the smoke over there? Yes, sir. That's the city. I forget how much property he owned there. He said, I'm the president in that bank there, telling me what all he had. I listened a while, and I said, I would like to ask you a question, sir. You have pointed east to the west, showing the ranches in the city. I would like to have you look up this way, see, toward heaven, and tell me how much you own up there. That's the main thing, because someday you're going to leave every bit of this down here, and then where do you go from there? That's the main thing. This is a short stay here, but that's an eternal stay there. In other words, hey, you belong. You belong. You got the right body. It's all over. You're never, never changed. Except your enlightenment and marvelous things to come, which I know. I mean, hey, I've read the scripture enough to know. You don't get bogged down. You become lighter and lighter. L-I-G-H-T in the sense of illumination. You think you come to your epiphany if I, oh my heavens, and I took that for the epiphany. Oh, look it over here. Say, is that beautiful? Oh my, look a little further. Where you are with God, you are infinite. In the production and the wonderment of that production. And if you have just a body that's classified to burn in the lake of fire for a season, that's what you and I will have. You cannot change it, see. It's a short stay here, but there it's eternal. So I think we ought to consider where we are going for eternity. If we can so supply and fix our families and so forth here on earth with homes and houses and comfort and education, that's the thing we ought to do. But one of the main things we should do, we often leave undone till we get to the end of the road.
and drown ourselves in an eternity, knowing nothing about God, about His plan of salvation, and the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. It's pitiful that we do it, but we do. The wise people, when they find out that they're a creature of time, they wonder what it is after time ceases. They see, time doesn't, it's already gone, it's blended. What about us? What's the next step? Where are we? It's imminent. It's over. Sentence is passed. The order of execution is stayed until just the right moment. Is there an appeal going on? Only one appeal to the Word, the vindicated prophet. Not William Branham as a man. I'm talking now about who the real prophet is, God Himself. Who's the real Elijah? God Himself. You see, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about these other things. I'm going to speak of a man by the name of Job for a few minutes. That's the oldest book in the Bible. We understand that Job was one of the wisest men in the world of his day. Why? He said that when he would go to the marketplaces, the young princes would bow before him because of his great wisdom. He was a great man. But that man began to realize, for all of his greatness, after this is all over, then what's it going to be? He wondered what would take place. So he speaks again and begins to consider God's creation. He knew that all things were created by the word from God. And he noticed also, he said, there's hope if a tree dies, it'll live again. If you notice nature, God, in His great way to express His feelings to the people that they'll be sure whether they got a Bible or anything else, He expresses Himself in nature too. And also remember the signs of the zodiac in the heavens and the Great Pyramid. But those all need decodifying. But the Bible also needs revealing. Watch the sun when it comes up of a morning. What happens to the sun? It's a little baby born in the east. At 10 o'clock, it's in its teenage. At noon, it's in its strength. In the afternoon, it's in middle age. Evening, it's gone. It sets, it's finished. Is that all of the sun? No. God's got a purpose for the sun. So the sun comes back and rises again the next morning. What does it speak of? Birth, life, death, resurrection. Look at your flowers. I was noticing today the flowers coming down. That is, they were dying. How pretty they are. They're here for a purpose. They're spoken words of God. Mind that, that's awfully pretty words that God speaks, doesn't He? What happened? A wrong word came in. No word of God is not pretty. Every word of God is life, and life is beautiful. In the original. What must even Adam have looked like? Well, we should go back to looking like them. They're here for a purpose. They're spoken words of God. God spoke them into existence. And when He did, look what happens. They're pretty standing in your yard. After a while, frost hits them. Young ones, old ones, middle age. As soon as frost hits them, it's dead. They bow their little heads, and what happens? A little black seed of some sort drops out of them. Believe it or not, God has a funeral possession for them. The rains come, and tears, as it were, drop from the skies and bury the seeds. The winter comes on. The petal's gone, the stalk's gone, the bulb's gone, the seed freezes, bursts open, the pulp runs out. Is that the end of the seed? No, sir. Let that warm sun shine, which brings forth resurrection of all bodily life. As soon as that sun begins to light the earth and get warm, there's a germ of life somewhere in that seed, and it lives again. Why? It served a purpose of God, and God makes a way for it to live again. Now, if you wanted to, you could say, well, this is what you call reincarnation. Just keep coming back. That's not true. Like my good friend said to me, and I said, he said, don't you believe you come back? I said, no way, shape, or form, but here's a resurrection. I'm going to be in it. He said, oh, you're one of these one-chance guys. I said, absolutely, that's all there is. He's a sweet guy, you know. I don't fuss with him. Why should I fuss with him? Let's go to Isaiah 55 and read what Brother Branham is saying. And we'll read 13 verses, I guess, I've got written down here. Beginning at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money on for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your souls delight in itself in fatness. Your soul's fat, not the head. Incline your ears and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man, let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repent, repent. And let him return unto the Lord. How? By getting the word of God. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I said it. Now he's using nature as a picture, like Brother Branham. And he said, my word has to be fulfilled, period. All right, now we're put here for a purpose. But we must serve that purpose. Choose either death or life. So we're put here for a purpose, but we must serve that purpose. That's serving God, because we're sons and daughters of God. Now, Job watched the creation. He saw that after death it wasn't the end of it. He saw that after death there was life again. Life, as soon as the sun got right, it was life again. Well, he said, if that seed is a spoken seed or a spoken word of God, and it serves its purpose and dies. But he said, a man, I'm looking at the scripture now, Job 14, but a man lieth down, he giveth up the ghost, he wastes away. His sons come to mourn, he perceives it not, where is he? Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave and keep me in the secret place till thy wrath be past. Job said, I see a flower die, it serves its purpose, it rises up. I see a tree die, a fall of the year puts, and then in the fall of the year, and then it puts forth its leaves. Of course, that would be in the spring. Did you ever notice a tree? It'll put forth its leaf, and then it serves its time through the summer, autumn comes. Way before the frost falls, that leaf begins to turn yellow, red, or brown. After a while, it drops off the tree and falls down. Is that the end of it? No. What happens? The life that was in that leaf goes back to the roots of the tree where it came from. What does it do then? Spring of the year, it brings forth with it, or in a resurrection, a new leaf. Same life returning back with a new leaf. And Christians are hanging on the tree of life. And when the life leaves his old sinful body, it goes back to the God that gives it, to come forth again with a new one, because it's serving a purpose. Now see, we were put here for a purpose. And that purpose can only be the purpose of God if fulfilled, if we are the true children of God. And we will go through the life and death cycle and come back in the resurrection. Now he said, how much time we got? Fine? Well, I'm going to stop here, because Brother Branham is going to illustrate, which we've heard this times before, of being down in Kentucky where the infidel got converted. So we'll just go start on Wednesday, and we'll just bring the thought on Wednesday that Brother Branham is looking at nature and showing us, even in nature, the purpose of God, the sowing of God, the desire of God. All of this is fulfilled no matter what people may think. And you can take that to the very extreme. There is no extremity with God. There's no way you can fathom him. There's no way you can outrace him. There's no way you can outthink him. There's no way you can outmerit him. There's no way that you can outfox him or in any way supersede him in strength or any way at all. It all comes back to one thing. All the children of God know this. They have no problem, because they are in the covenant and the very life that God has given. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Eternal Father, we want to thank you for the time we've had together. Got a few pages here, looking at what the prophet said, realizing, Lord, that in our own mind, there are little gaps, just exactly as Brother Branham concurred with Schofield and men of like nature, who said, even when a mystery has been resolved, there is an element therein. And we know, Lord, that these things cannot be resolved in a test tube. They can only be looked at in the realm of nature, which in itself is obscure. But, Lord, there is a word which we believe has been revealed to us, which has been vindicated, and we stand on it. So we care not if the storms of science, so-called, rage, and the verbosity of those that are under the aegis in the, actually the heel of the enemy, the devil, and are coming against with all the force that they can muster, the boldness and brass of a conviction that is groundless and cannot stand. We know we stand upon the solid rock revelation that has been given us, and the winds can come against us, the floods can blow, and nothing is going to harm the house that we are building because it is on the rock that cannot fall. And not only that, we believe with all our hearts that if that rock is our foundation, it is a part of the house. And so therefore there is no way this house is going to fall, because we're building upon a foundation that goes right from the cornerstone to the capstone, who is now here and going to take the people into glory. And so, Father, we thank you that we can believe today that we are a part of that, because we believe the word that is given for this hour, and we are going from here to there. And those who have gone ahead will come back and be on this earth with us to ascend to the marriage supper, to come back as in Revelation 19, to take up our places in the great hour of further sanctification. Just taking up all the loose ends and seeing all these things now forming that new and more brilliant rainbow that lies ahead of us straight past the throne, white throne, way into the new Jerusalem, and those countless ages where time has lost all meaning. We don't understand that. That boggles our mind too. But we know, Lord, when we're adjusted to it, it's going to be just perfectly wonderful, which indeed it is absolutely even now. Be with us, Lord, as we go. Heal the sick amongst us. Again, we pray specifically again for Jared, Lord, to touch him. May this be the hour, Lord, of the reckoning of his life, to turn to you, O God. We wouldn't want him under obligation to you, Lord, that you healed him to go back into a life of sin or something. That would be folly. We pray, Lord, that you speak to his soul at this time. Somehow, God, you're more than able, our Father, through the Spirit, to deal with that. We pray for him that all shall be well with the soul and with the body. And we pray for Leon McCollum, no longer eating, but mostly sleeping, Lord. May he have peace and rest, and may his wife get some real rest. And may she survive the hammering blows of this hour of her life, when the man that she's loved and been with so close all these years, 50 years or more, gone away. We just pray for him, Lord, knowing that it's rough, but then again, so what isn't? There's a life beyond the river. There's a land there too where the life goes in a new body, a new creation. And we are happy for that, Lord. So we know that all things are working together for those that love the Lord. And they're working for us this morning, O God. And we say, what should we fear? No, there's no fear left. It's all gone. We're dwelling, Lord, in the eternal light that has shone way back those in those days when that one said, let there be light, the same one here. Today, we're grateful for that. May we never forget it and give thee glory. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, and this the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen.